So your prayers this morning as we look into the Word are the last few weeks had a series on the subject of spiritual nature and nurture, and we've taken some time with the subject of our spiritual nature, so we don't want to take too much time and cover old ground, but we'd like to move on to the issue of nurture this morning by the help of the Lord. There has been and is in society and in the scientific world a controversy still today between how much, what makes us who we are. When you look in the mirror and you see what you look like and you go out and your behaviors and your actions and your attitudes and your responses in life, the question is, what makes me me? And there are what it comes down to is that there is a balance between nature and nurture. In other words, putting it, genetics and environment. We have a predisposed genetic makeup that makes us, to a large extent, look like we look and act like we act. But there is also another power at work, and that is the nurture, the environment, the experiences that we have had, the way that we were taught, the things that we are exposed to in life, the influences that we are under, those change who we are. They change how we act. And we've examined the last couple, two or three weeks, how the Lord came in and He changed our nature. When we get saved, before we were under the power motivated by the things of the flesh. But when the Lord saved us, He gave us of His Holy Spirit. The chief motivator now is the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. We are still in the flesh, so we are still tempted. We still have the propensity to sin, but now our nature is spiritual in the sense that the chief motivator of force at work is the power of God within us. And it is that power that enables us to live free from sin, while yet we are in this flesh and we are still tempted. Nature endows us, speaking genetically, nature endows us with inborn abilities and traits, and its nurture, or the environment, the experiences that we have, that take those genetic tendencies and molds them as we learn and mature. Isn't that how we watch our children? To nurture, by definition, is to teach, to train, educate. It has to do with the environment, and it nurture is what promotes and sustains growth and development. And as we begin, again, I'd like us to keep the context of all of this. We dwelt fairly extensively, and there's a lot more that could be said about it, but with our spiritual nature. Who are we spiritually? What did God do? When the Spirit comes into our life, what happens? How does that change us? What doesn't it change? And we've looked at that the last few weeks. But I want us to examine the power of nurture this morning. And we're not going to finish this aspect of it in this morning service. But consider how different in a physical sense someone would be if they were raised. Consider yourself. If you were taken away from your birth parents, so you have the genes, you have the genetic predisposition that you do right now, but as a baby, as a newborn, you were given to a couple, a native couple that lived in a mud hut in Africa. Do you think you'd be any different today, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later? Do you think you'd be a different person? I think you would be. Do you know that we probably even have to a certain extent have to look twice to recognize you? Because you see, if I would have been born in a mud hut in Africa, just raised, say, in Malawi, one of the poorest countries in the world, I wouldn't have any very little education, so I wouldn't talk like I talk. I would speak a different language. I would have a different perspective on life. I remember telling some of them about the moon, that there's no light in and of itself. It's just a mirror. The moon is a reflection of the light of the sun. They didn't know that. A lot of things that we take for granted are our homes and our marriages. Our marriages are very different here in the United States and among God's people than they are in other countries. In Ghana, for a couple of years, there were people that I had no idea that they were even married to each other. And I was around both of them. And I knew the husband well. I knew the wife well. I didn't know they were married until a couple years later when I was there. And I was like, oh, you all are husband and wife. And their comment to Renee and me when she was there with me, they said, you all are like brother and sister. It was because we talked about things. We did things together. I said, what do you think about that, Renee? They weren't used to that kind of a marriage. My life would be different. And would you say, would I still be Michael Smith? That you know I would not be. I'd be a very different person. And that is the power of nurture. The experiences that children have, and not only children, the experiences that we have shapes and molds us into who we are. Those of you that are married, do you know that you would be, probably most of us would be, to some degree, different people if we had not married who we had married? And if you're single and you would have been married, you would be a different person too. Because your experiences, I learned more about myself after I got married than I ever did, I think, in the 18 years, or actually I didn't get married at 18. But the years before I got married, I learned a lot more about me after I got married. And it gave the Lord room to start working on me when I thought things were pretty good. But the Lord see through marriage and through experiences, it changed who I am. And I will say I am a better person for marriage today. I'm a better person for it. And I would say I'm stronger spiritually for it too. Because the Lord begins to have avenues to work on us that we didn't know we needed work. But when you get in close personal relationships with people, the Lord starts revealing more about ourselves. But you see, if we're saved and full of the Holy Spirit, can we sit back, and we heard in Sunday school, can I sit back and say, well, I sowed the seed on the field. The potential is there. It's good seed. It's been plowed up and sowed, and now I can just sit back and fold my arms until the Lord comes back. You see, it doesn't happen that way. When we get saved and full of the Holy Spirit and He changes our nature now, see, we're motivated and empowered by God, we're just getting started, see? That's the nature part of things. But when you have a newborn baby, when we look at them, we see potential. And their lives could change radically based on the way that they're nurtured, on the way they're cared for, on the way they're taught, on the experiences they have and the influences that they're under. Folks, spiritually, we have been changed and transformed by a new birth in Jesus Christ. We're still in the flesh. This is the reason people say, if I was saved and really full of the Holy Spirit, why would I even be struggling with that? It is because we are still in the flesh, but we have now been equipped. Remember I said that within nurture, that nurture is limited within the parameters of genetic predisposition. You remember that? We covered that a couple times. Do you know that spiritually it's the same way? If I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, I can have all of the good or bad experiences, but it's still not going to save me. It's still not going to redeem me. But when I have been saved and my nature's been changed, there are still elements of growth and maturity that occur within that experience. When we have the Holy Spirit, we don't have the luxury of sitting back and saying, oh, I'm not carnal. My nature's not carnal. And remember what we mean by that now. I'm not being driven under the power and force of the flesh now. But there's a greater power at work in my spirit, although I'm still in the flesh. And so then, if I sit back and fold my arms and say, well, look at all the potential. I'm saved, I've been forgiven, I have the Holy Spirit. And I sit on the couch, am I going to grow spiritually? Am I going to bear forth more fruit? I'm not going to do it unless I take care of nurturing the potential that God has given me. And that is the reason, folks, we are on a journey this morning. And God does not expect you to be in the same place on your journey as I am this morning, nor does God expect me to be in the same place that you are this morning, because we are all in different places on our journey. What we all need this morning is to have a divine, we need to have a birth, a divine transformation where we have been born again in the Spirit of God, but yet in that transformation, we're still babes, and now there's a place of growth. Now there's a place of maturity. I want to say this. You take a 12th grader that goes to kindergarten with his little brother or sister. And say the 12th grader takes the spelling test that the kindergartners have, and he comes home so proud of himself. He says, I got 100% on the test today in kindergarten. Would you be proud of him? He says, so what? So you could spell cat or dog. Do you know that wouldn't be that big of a deal because you expect him to be able to spell that. But your first grader or kindergartner comes home and says, I got 100 on my test. We're so proud of him. You did good. You studied. You did something that was noteworthy. Good job. Because they made a perfect score for a kindergartner. You see, it's different when Devin comes home from his pre-calculus class and if he does good on it, it's like, son, you did a good job. I don't expect Ethan to go and do pre-calc. I don't expect him. He can miss all of the questions, and he would. But if he missed all of them and he came home, I wouldn't think any less of him. Because he hasn't had the experience. He hasn't had the time to mature and develop. Do you understand spiritually it's the same way among us as God's people? God does not expect a newborn in Christ, even one that has been born again and filled with the Spirit, to be bearing the same fruit that someone that has been born again and had the Spirit for 50 years. And if you're still, and if you're 50 or 60 years old this morning, and you've been saved for 30, 40 years, you ought to be bearing a lot of fruit. There's more expected from us that have known the ways of God and served Him. But folks, nurture has a lot to do with things spiritually. So if you are still struggling with things in your life, and you are still struggling spiritually, and you look around, it seems like, well, I ought to be further down the road. Maybe you should, but don't be discouraged, because this is a growing process. This is why the Scripture says to grow in grace. This is why the Scripture says to perfect holiness in the fear of God. It's because we're on a journey. But when our nature has been transformed, we have the equipment that we need to enable us to mature and grow and prosper and bear forth fruit. But therein is a responsibility that falls to us. Brother Justin mentioned and brought out the point well. The man that he said Wednesday night had given his heart to God. He didn't come down to this altar. Did someone have to come to this altar in this chapel to be saved? Anywhere someone humbles their heart and repents and turns away and forsakes their sins, God forgives them and they're born in the kingdom of God. But I want us to know when he asked the question, said, so what now? And they told him, nope, that's all you have to do. That's it. They were focusing on the nature part. This is God's part right here. The nature part. A divine transformation. Folks, we're wasting our time to work on this. I'm trying to be a better person in our own ability because we can never rise above a carnal nature unless we have been born again. We can never rise above it. We're limited. But when we've been born again, it enables us to rise above our genetic predispositions. I can rise above the tendencies of father and grandfather that were unlike Christ, and I can do it by the power of God. But I'm still in the flesh. And so then, if I sit back and say, God, thank you for saving me, now that's all I have to do, I'm reminded of the debate, and I say debate, the controversy of those in religious circles about grace versus works. Are we saved by works? No, we're not. But the lack of works can unsave us. We are saved by grace. A divine transformation. Nature is like grace. This is God's part. This is what He does for us. This is His enabling power. And nurture is kind of our part. That's the works part. It takes both of them working in tandem. Walking hand in hand, grace and works married together. Nature and nurture working together to bring us into the image of Jesus Christ. A changed nature does not give us the freedom to go and do and live however we want to live. So, well, I've been forgiven. The Lord gave me the Spirit, and so now anything that I do, isn't this reverse logic? Anything I do is pure because I have the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another example. How many religious people do you know, and I'm going to bring it a step further, closer. How many ministers have you, how many ministers tell you they're doing things because the devil wants them to do it? He said, well, I'm saved and have the Holy Spirit, so the Lord is in this thing because I'm doing it. I have the Holy Spirit, so if I do it, it must be from God. Reverse logic, see? Rather, if we have the nature of Christ, we have to recognize we have responsibility in the things we do, in the things we allow in our home, in the things we watch, in the things we listen to. It does not make those things pure because I have the Spirit of God. The Lord gave me a new birth, but now my responsibility is to guard my environment. My responsibility is to guard the nurture and the experiences and the influence that touch my life. That's my responsibility. And God has given all of us the responsibility to guard and to nurture spiritually what the Lord has done for us. And if we don't stay on our guard and we get casual and lax, heard and sense, we're not diligent about what the Lord, the seed that the Lord has sown in our life, it's not going to grow. It's not going to prosper because we start filling our hearts and minds with other things. And because we are still in the flesh, those things are going to take root. Unless we guard, unless we nurture what the Lord has given to us, if we fail to be diligent, if we fail to guard the experiences, guard our environment, guard the influences in our life, we are going to end up like Adam and Eve did in the garden. You see, they walk with God. That's what a changed nature is all about. It's about communing and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But when they sinned, when they disobeyed God, they lost the presence of God. That is how someone that is saved and full of the Holy Spirit can lose their walk with God. And there are some that say you can't, you can't. And it is because the Lord never removes our power of choice. He never removes it. We're free moral agents this morning. But our responsibility after we have been converted is to guard and nurture what the Lord has done, or we will lose the presence of God. Over in 1 Kings, let's illustrate. I want to give an Old Testament illustration first. In 1 Kings, beginning with chapter 11, it's a familiar passage, but to me, over the years, it has always been a powerful illustration. 1 Kings 11, beginning with verse 1. It said, King Solomon. Now, before we read this, what had God given to King Solomon in the infancy of his kingship? He gave him wisdom. It went beyond natural ability, right? King Solomon was not necessarily naturally wise. God gave him a divine gift of wisdom. See, now we're talking about something that God gave. Now it said, King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites. And it said, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. How did this happen to a man that had, and we're talking about nature, but someone that had a divine gift, something God had given, a divine gift of wisdom, how did he end up with his heart turned away from God? It was because, I believe one of the reasons was he thought that because he was so wise, this is what God has given to me, that I can handle it. I know that the Lord's really not pleased with me marrying women of other nations, but I have a divine gift of wisdom, see. I'm a step above other kings and other people because God gave me something and I can handle it, whereas maybe others couldn't handle it. You know, you shouldn't marry a woman of another nation that's an idol worshiper. That was the crux of the matter here. It wasn't because they were a different color skin. It wasn't because they spoke a different language. It was because they worshiped idols. That was the reason God said it. So I'll just, this off on a little tangent this morning. Let's not use the Old Testament to promote not marrying someone of another nation. That's not scriptural. That's not the reason these scriptures are used for that. He was talking about it because they worship idols. That's the reason God said don't do it here. So then, when we come down, Solomon thought he could handle it. But we find his heart was turned away from God, and folks, it didn't happen overnight. I want us to understand, it has to do with nurture. This had to do with the environment that Solomon placed himself in. He placed himself in an environment that was not conducive to righteousness. It is not, and folks, this comes down to practical decisions in your life, and I don't need to spell everything out this morning. But it is a lack of wisdom. We are naive or fooling ourselves if we say, my nature has been changed, I have the Holy Spirit, so everything that I do then is pure and right because my heart's right. And so I can just go and do whatever I want. God knows my heart. You can't handle it. Do we get that this morning? You cannot handle it because you are in the flesh. I am in the flesh. You say, but He gave me His Spirit. Thank the Lord for that, but now start working on the other part of it. God did His job. He equipped you. He gave you potential to grow spiritually. He gave you potential to bring forth works and fruit of holiness. But we're going to fall into the same place that Solomon did if we say, I have the Holy Spirit. Now I can go where I want. I can watch what I want. I can listen to what I want. I can go all the places that appeal to the flesh, and I can handle it because I have a divine gift from God that's changed my nature. Do you know there are a lot of people that feel that way? And they end up losing their relationship with God over and over and over because, folks, we are still in the flesh this morning. So let's not fool ourselves in thinking that we are so spiritual because of grace that we can handle going out and doing anything we want to do. Solomon had a gift of wisdom, but what God had given him in a sense became his downfall because he became reliant on what I have from God as opposed to being reliant on God himself. I have the Holy Spirit. So does that mean anything I do is right? No, it doesn't. It means you better still keep yielding to the Holy Spirit. Let that wisdom work effectually in our life. Let's turn over to 2 Peter. And while we turn there, keep in mind that Solomon did not lose his relationship with God overnight, did he? It said in his old age. How many people have you heard said, that doesn't affect me. I can do that. It doesn't have any effect on me. That's naive. Folks, we are products of our environment. We are what we eat, aren't we? Physically. You go fill up on sweets and fats, and guess what? You go and eat good, solid foods and good things, you're going to be much more healthy in your body than if you go out and you don't get the nourishment and the vitamins that you need. Spiritually, the same thing applies. And people that said, oh, I can go do that, it doesn't affect me. And you can look on and there are things that are not pure about something. There are influences that are strongly after the flesh that you know that God's not in the thing. And they say, it doesn't affect me though. See, I have the Holy Spirit and I don't have to do those things, but I can do the good things mixed up in with it. We're setting ourselves up for spiritual failure and it might not happen this week. It might not happen next month, but I will say years down the road, it will affect our walk with God. And we may be blinded to it. Folks, that's the power of deception.
Deception is when you start off thinking, I can handle it, and I'm not going to do something that's wrong, and I'm strong enough because I have a gift from God. See? Just like Solomon. Folks, you are not strong enough as long as you are flesh and blood to place yourself in every environment that this world has to offer. And that is why people can criticize the saints and say, oh, if you're saved and sanctified, you can control it. And you can do what you want because you're pure inside. Folks, they're focusing on grace. And there are other people who just focus on nurture and say, well, if you just have all the list of do's and don'ts, you'll be okay. They're both wrong. They're both wrong. It's grace and works together. It is the divine nature of God working within us, coupled with the nurture that is our responsibility. The experiences, what we expose ourselves to. Folks, it'll change us. You go out, say, I have the Holy Spirit now. Why is it that people are different and they all profess to have the Holy Spirit? I'll say some of it has to do with nurture. Who's really taken care of what God has given you potential to do? 2 Peter 1. I really thought we were going to conclude this today, but it's not looking like it. 2 Peter in the first chapter, and we looked at this on the nature part of it, but I was so struck with the power of nurture in this passage of Scripture. 2 Peter, beginning with verse 1, or chapter 1, rather, verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. That's a good passage, but I wanted 2 Peter. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power. Now we're talking about nature here. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Those mighty promises are what? Forgiveness of sin, and His giving us of His Holy Spirit to empower us. So by those, we can be a partaker of the divine nature. We say, oh, thank the Lord, I'm done, it's finished. I can sit back and soul take my ease. But we need to read on. That was nature. And then He said, and beside this, in addition to the things that I have given to you, He said, give all diligence. What we heard in Sunday school, I've changed your nature. I've given you a gift, but now you be careful. This is what you need to give diligence to. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And it goes on. Do you know that that is our growth then in the Lord? He's talking about the journey that we are on. I've changed you from a partaker of the divine nature. You have potential. The seed has been sown, but now you have a responsibility to give diligence. You add to this. You let this fruit multiply in your life. You see, God gives us grace and He gives us ability. But now is our responsibility to go and to work and to till and to weed and to grow. And not everybody does that at the same pace. Not everybody does that at the same level of intensity. See, are we nurturing though? See, that you see where we have responsibility now? Think about someone that has a very high IQ. And I know people like this. Very high IQs, they have a lot of potential. You know, but potential doesn't get you anywhere. You know that potential does not get you anywhere unless you apply yourself
And they're so smart, all they do is sit on the couch most of the day. Lazy as anything. Because I'm on smart. You know, I have a bill. I could do. The Lord's not interested in what you could do, folks. He's interested in us spiritually getting off the couch and not keep relying on, well, the Lord gave me the Holy Spirit. What good is it doing me if all I do is come to church? Really? If all I do is come to church and testify of the Lord, changing my nature, thank the Lord, and I go home and be spiritually lazy, what good is it doing me? What good is it doing God? I'm glad He changed your nature, but He changed our nature to equip us to start growing now. To start working for God. To start sacrificing. To start giving of ourselves. To start living holy. To start helping our families to grow in the Lord. And nurturing them as we nurture our own spirit. You see then, it's not enough to just have the nature changed. We need to get up off the couch and apply our hearts. Then Solomon said he applied his heart unto wisdom. That's what the Lord is looking for us to do this morning, is to apply our hearts, to guard our life. And that's where I mentioned he said to grow in grace. Do you know that means that there is a measure of grace that you have not experienced in some battles yet? And when you get to the place, it's like, I don't know what to do, or why did I even fall a little bit short there? Isn't that what growth is about? Isn't that what growth is about, folks? Don't expect, because your nature's been changed by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, don't think you're never going to fall. I'm not talking about going into sin, but don't think that you're never going to have weaknesses and you realize, oh, I wasn't as patient as I should have been. Well, if I really had the Holy Spirit, wouldn't have I been perfect in love and grace and patience and joy and peace? Those are areas the Lord is wanting us to grow in. I trust we understand that this morning. And growth takes time. But we have the ability to grow. That's the change in nature. We have the potential now. We have the ability to grow and to prosper. Let's conclude over in the book of Galatians. In the 5th chapter. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. And then in verse 24 he said, "And they that are Christ have crucified or put to death the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Folks, because we have the Holy Spirit, that's the nature, the nurture is now, Lord, I want to walk in it. Now I want to make the decisions that are conducive to spirituality. I want to walk in the ways that draw me into a closer relationship with God. I want to walk in the ways where I can feel a greater anointing of the presence of the Lord. Folks, that's a responsibility that we have then to follow the leadings of the Spirit. And that's our work then this morning. That's our job. That is our cross. That is why we have such a continual dependence upon the Lord. And this is how we can lose out with God, folks, is when we fail to walk in the Spirit. Not enough to say, I have the Spirit. See, that equipped us. But now we have to walk in it. We have to live after it. Let's not neglect nurture this morning. Let's not neglect nurture, that the environment that we place ourselves in, because we are products of our spiritual environment. We'll close this morning with that. More to come on that subject. But folks, let's not be naive enough to think that just because our nature has been changed, because I have the Holy Spirit, I can go and do what I want. Because we are humanly, physically, we are very different people when we are raised in different environments, regardless of our genetic predispositions. And so then we want to start examining our life and start looking at the influence and the powers that are at work, the things that we're doing, and say, am I now nurturing properly the gift that God has given to me?